Shalom, Havarim. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Greetings, saints of God, and may God bless you for spending some quality time in studying the Word of God. Tonight, we are celebrating the anniversary of the recapturing of East Jerusalem on June 7th, 1967, exactly 49 years ago today. It was during the Six-Day War that ended on the 11th of June, and it's being remembered, naturally, all this week with the Feast of Pentecost on Sunday. How fitting. We'll be sharing much more of that tonight, but first we want to covet God's Holy Spirit power upon our lips and upon the program tonight.
Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify, knowing you will be calling us home very soon. Thank you for the water of your word that not only washes us clean, but provides that added protective strength, courage, stamina, and power so very much needed during these last days. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones and those with one foot still in the world to encounter a deep spiritual awakening while rebuking all demonic forces that continually tries to alter that path to you. We also pray for our recent request for miraculous healings. May you supernaturally touch them and keep us all in perfect peace whose eyes are fixed on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And just a reminder that if you missed any of the programs, especially on the Jude series that we just finished last week, they are all archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Yeah, and you know, it's easy. Everyone has some access to a computer, you know, no matter how old or how poor.
Really, sure. It's sort of like we all have a family member, especially in the younger generation. Or the greatest resource is still the library that will assist you and show you how.
Gosh, you know, even your cell phone can access this program.
I know, right? We are very blessed to be able to get good Bible studies and listen to giants in the field on any book of God's Word.
Yeah, you just got to want to do it.
Well said.
So, what happened on the Israel non-negotiation at the UN meeting last Friday in Paris? And that was just a little parody there, honey.
Yes, I know. And really, you're right, though, to put it bluntly, not much, at least openly. You know, French officials did a 180 and said it was the first step toward fostering a positive environment for now the Israelis and the Palestinians to return to the negotiating table. So a little bit different than what they were saying before. But in my opinion, if anything is going to get done, it will probably be privately and behind closed doors, and we're not even going to know about it. And then one day, all of a sudden, they're just going to make an announcement that an agreement has been made. And actually, Netanyahu has been talking extensively with Egypt and Russia's Putin, surprisingly, that it appears they want to be brokers in the negotiations that will go forward. But only God knows for sure when it will happen. We only know that it will.
Any other news? Any other newsworthy information? Anything good?
Well, yeah. Governor Cuomo of New York ordered agencies under his control to divest themselves of any company or organization aligned with a Palestinian-backed boycott movement against Israel. Cuomo called the BDS Boycott Israel movement an economic attack on Israel and said, if you boycott against Israel, New York will boycott you.
Well, kudos to the governor of New York. But isn't he a Jesuit school at Fordham University graduate, I believe?
You remember well. And actually, all the Masonic puppets really want to protect Israel's economy because one day the Antichrist will sit in its temple.
Ah, got it. There wouldn't be a temple if the country went bankrupt.
All right, correct. remember, Saints, we always have to look at the bigger picture.
Oh, and as you have said before, God is using the enemy to fulfill his word.
Oh, yeah, he often does.
Okay, now we must move on because an important feast day is coming up on Sunday that we need to talk about.
We do indeed, and we will. But first, could we tell our listeners how they can contact us?
Absolutely. Okay, by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please prayerfully consider any love offering, which is needed and, of course, greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any news updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, that contains many teachings, especially on Hebraic Roots 101 and all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. Believe it or not, they don't pay us for being on the radio. We pay them. So any donation is greatly appreciated.
That's right. Airtime is not cheap. All right. Pentecost is this Sunday, June 12th, the fourth of the seven feasts of the Lord, explained in Leviticus 23, and like the first three appointments were fulfilled, so was the fourth, with the infilling of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Three more are still left to be fulfilled, and they arrive every fall season.
And perhaps the Lord will fulfill the next one in line in this year.
That would be so nice. Anyway, you can read about these feasts, which the word feast means appointments, in Leviticus 23 and other places. But a quick overview of the spring feast is that Jesus shed his own blood for our sins on Passover.
Historically in Egypt, the blood of a lamb was applied on their wooden door frames.
Then Jesus took our sins to the grave on the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
When they originally left Egypt's sinful world to a new life.
And then Jesus arose on the Feast of First Fruits of the Barley Harvest.
The anniversary of the Hebrews escaping through the Red Sea.
But their enemies were all drowned, representing new life for them.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Jesus destroyed our enemy for us by his resurrection. And Paul says he was the first fruits of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And he rose on the first fruits. Anyway, it's pretty interesting, of course, just how God would do it. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 15:20. We are next in line, the saints, to be resurrected. So we now have power, because of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, over the enemy through his word. But it's still our choice to get our armor on. You cannot just pray the armor of God onto yourself. It is only applied through time spent studying. Actually, it coincides with getting sanctified in spirit, soul, and body or your flesh.
Yeah, you've taught often on this. Check it out in some of our past programs.
That's right. Then, 50 days after he arose, he sent the Holy Spirit, recorded in Acts chapter 2, like I said, where we credit that awesome event to the official birth of his church.
And his betrothed bride.
Right. And historically, 50 days after the Red Sea incident, when basically they were given a new life, free from the past one as slaves in Egypt, Moses led them to Mount Sinai. And God betrothed them to himself and told them what he expected and what he promised as well.
That was the first Pentecost.
It was. So, four historical appointments were literally fulfilled by Jesus, and as sure as I am speaking this to you tonight, we can assuredly know that Jesus will keep the last three appointments scheduled in the fall season some year as well.
Well, knowing Jesus, amen to that.
Yes. The Feast of Pentecost is always on a Sunday. So, Dan, could you read Leviticus 23, 15 through 17, and I'll kind of interrupt a little.
Okay. All right. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath.
Of course, that's on a Sunday.
From the day that you brought the sheaves of the wave offering,
which was on the Feast of the First Fruits of the Barley, also always on a Sunday.
7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer new grain offering to the Lord.
Now we are at the first fruits of the wheat harvest, called Feast of Weeks, or in Hebrew, Shavuot. Soon this feast became known as Pentecost because of the 50 days, since Penti means 5.
Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephod.
Right, that's just a standard of measurement in those days, and it equaled about a gallon of grain.
They shall be of fine flour.
That just means sifted.
They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. But again, 50 days after escaping Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, God gave Moses and the Israelites his Torah commandments as well as his promises if they would remain faithful to him only. On this day, God blew for all to hear the first shofar ever recorded in the Bible. Check it out, Exodus 19. Thus, the expression first shofar became an idiom or another name for this feast. Remember, the first Pentecost
at Mount Sinai,
it was a betrothal covenant, an oath between God and his people. In Exodus 24, the people answered all the words that Jehovah or Yahweh has said, we will do. Same with us. When we became born again, we entered into a betrothal agreement with Jesus. In Jewish law, the betrothment was legally binding, except in the case of adultery,
which they soon committed.
Unfortunately, while Moses was up on the mountain to receive the written law on tablets of stone, nearing 40 days, the people grew impatient. You all know the story. And they wanted to add another God to represent them when they could see, for they thought Moses might not return, or at least not in their time frame. So they would add something visible, not necessarily to replace, but to go along with. Remember, they were coming from Egypt that had many relics, statues, and gods. And much of that was still ingrained in them, of course. You know, most religions want a more visible God, so we'll actually make statues like Buddha. Even statues of Jesus and Mary, even though the second commandment forbids it, by stating, no likeness of anything in heaven will be made, and certainly not to bow down to them. Anyhow, the Hebrews made and were worshiping a golden calf when Moses returned from Mount Sinai, where he rebuked them. And then 3,000 Israelites fell by the sword, which was directed by God. You can read that in Exodus 32:27 and 28. And hundreds of years later, Jesus, after his resurrection and being seen for 40 days and getting ready to ascend to his Father, told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem for 10 more days. Why? Because he would keep his fourth appointment of the 7 by sending them the Comforter on the anniversary of the first Pentecost of Exodus 19. And, of course, we read that in Acts chapter 2 of the coming of the Holy Spirit on believers. And I think we should read that, dear.
Okay. Excuse me. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
And the unbelievers were amazed. Peter soon preached, and 3,000 got saved. The same number who were killed for the calf incident from the first Pentecost. It's like God replaced them. By the way, this was not all done in the upper room, as some have taught. So let's look at this more closely. You know, we do know from Acts chapter 1 that the same day of Jesus' ascension, they went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives and entered an upper room. But it does not say they remained in the upper room for 10 days, nor does it say they were in the upper room in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, but rather that they were together in one place. I know the passage can lead you to think it was still in the upper room, because in verse 2, it is called a house, the Greek word being oikos. But it's the same word that Jesus used when he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Now, he did refer to the temple as his house, but know that the Greek word oikos is also the word used for temple, as in Luke 11. And other places. So, since 3,000 souls repented, common sense says it had to be outside in the outer court of the temple. I just thought that was an important thing to clarify. Otherwise, skeptics might say, oh, this Bible couldn't be true. And also, notice the divided tongues of fire. I have seen pictures where these tongues of fire look just like God's initial, called the Sheen in Hebrew, and it's the letter that begins the word Shaddai, and looks like a fancy W. I believe God was putting his name on his believers. It was his seal. And Ephesians 1:13 does say that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and Ephesians 4:30 and 2 Corinthians 1:22. This same Hebrew letter Sheen is embedded into the landscape of Jerusalem with the three valleys, the Hinnom, the Kidron, which are on both on the outer rims, and then the Tyropian is up in the middle. Knowing this important piece of information helps you really understand what 1 Kings 11:36, as well as Deuteronomy 16:2, is telling us. It said where God said to his people they were to make sacrifices in the place where he had chosen to put his name. That's what it says. Now, there are aerial pictures of this on the web, minus the buildings. So it's clearly seen. And also on my webpage, there's a picture of this that you can print out. As well, the letter Sheen is on all important implements in Israel, and all Jewish homes have a mezuzah on their doors with a sheen on the outside that houses the prayer called the Shema of Deuteronomy 6:4 through 9. And it's their most important biblical prayer, which God told them to put on their houses and also on their foreheads and arm, as well as, of course, teach it to their children. And they really do. And there is more. Remember, God told the Israelites that during the first three feasts of every year, they could only eat unleavened bread? Leaven is always a type of sin. Well, Jesus was without sin, so he was the unleavened bread from heaven who would take away the sins of the world. But now we see on the day of Pentecost, they are allowed to eat leavened bread. That's something we should know about, because we can eat it now on Pentecost because he took our leaven. He took our sins to the grave. And now we are free from the bondage that sins produce. So now, instead of one sheaf offering like at Passover, they were to offer two loaves of now leavened bread. Leviticus 23:17 says that. Now you might ask, well, why two? Well, it was to represent that both Jews and Gentiles can be recipients of God's added grace. Pentecost reinforces his New Testament promises to us. Sin and its consequences are no longer a burden to carry. The ultimate sacrifice has been achieved. Praise be to the King. The Jewish people would always read the Torah more intensely during Pentecost because it commemorates them receiving the Torah. But another tradition which began later is the reading of the Scroll of Ruth. Why, you might ask? Besides the fact she was David's great-grandmother? Well, the book of Ruth tells the story of a Gentile falling in love with Israel and the people and accepting its covenant that they received on the first Pentecost. The Gentile Ruth marries the Jewish man Boaz, a picture of our marriage, to the Jewish Jesus, the kinsman redeemer who redeems back the land that her mother, Naomi, her mother-in-law, had to forego when they left Bethlehem, as Jesus will, the whole earth. This story is a great type of how we, the church, are to feel about the land of Israel, too. Both Jews and Christians have very valid reasons to read the book of Ruth during the season of the Feast of Weeks. I hope you'll do that on Sunday with your children. The story of Ruth takes place during the season between the barley harvest and the first fruits of the wheat. How appropriate, although not really realized that Jews would pick this story, and certainly not know why, of a type of the bride of Christ to read during Pentecost, which is the official birth of the church. Of course, the birth of the church is our grafting into the olive tree, a symbol for Israel, and actually, it states seal. Has a menorah right in the middle of the two olive branches, and you know, Revelation 1:20 says the menorah, called the seven golden lamps, is a symbol for the church. Did you hear that? The menorah is a symbol for the church that stays lit 24/7. I have a pendant necklace that I often wear. Pentecost more recently marks the anniversary of the end of the Six-Day War when Israel won back Jerusalem in 1967. Pentecost is considered a new birth of Israel because they won Jerusalem. Well, actually, God did. But soon they will give it back to the enemy. That's what we're watching for. Tradition says that God would be heard all over and each could understand in their own language at the first Pentecost. How fitting that in Acts chapter 2, the people spoke in other languages. So those who came from other areas, like Persians, the Romans, the Egyptians, Arabians, they could understand it too. Only God would set it up that way. So, it is imperative for the church to see that we also are to embrace Israel, just like Ruth did, because we are no longer just a Gentile, but a born-again believer with a new name called Christian. And one day, all Israel will be saved and have the name of Christian as well. Get a hold of that. Read Romans 11:26, Galatians 3:28. Read the whole chapter, as a matter of fact. So let me just say, are you a Christian? Do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Jesus is your Savior if you want him, who has totally paid your debt for your sins, unless you want to yourself. I don't know why you would. Grab it right now. It's your choice, and it's always your choice. So, hallelujah. Here's the Aaronic blessing. Yivrakaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'ah Adonai panav eleka v'yuneka, Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. those who love her will prosper.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.